The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Quandary Phase.
Far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy, an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet once orbited a small, unregarded yellow sun. The planet's cetacean life forms were so amazingly advanced that they decided not to climb, gasping onto the land, grow fur, and evolve into apes, but instead returned to live in its ocean deeps, playing, eating, playing, sleeping, playing and singing songs, playfully. There was no need for digital watches or mobile phones for the dolphins. However, apart from a girl in a cafe in Rickmansworth, who was in no position to do anything about it, the dolphins alone knew that although the Earth was a perfect and wonderful thing, transcending its many petty abuses by men, mice and Magrathians, it could not survive the attentions of the Vogon constructor fleet. Not as it was, anyway. And not with a politician's chance in the truth-telling contest of them surviving its demolition. So they engineered an escape plan. The dolphins to a distant world indescribably found, indescribably arrived at. The humans back on a new Earth, pulled in from shadowy dimensions to replace the old one. The continuity of life between Earths was virtually unbroken, save for the departure of the dolphins, some duplication of human identities, and a hairline fracture in time, sensed only by Arthur Dent, and Fenchurch, the girl from the cafe, with whom he has now fallen hopelessly in love. The scientist, Wonko the Sane, has explained to them that the mysterious gift of beautiful grey glass bowls, each has received, bearing the engraving "So long and thanks for all the fish," was a goodbye present from the dolphins, replaying their last message when gently tapped.
"This bowl was brought to you by the campaign to save the humans. We bid you farewell."
With this issue resolved, but other questions still requiring answers, Arthur and Fenchurch have decided it's time to move on. Hitching a ride home from Heathrow to collect Arthur's bowl from his cottage in Somerset, or rather the useful Babel fish that he contains, all they need now is a staggering coincidence, such as the arrival of a flying saucer, or the exercise of some pretty nifty reverse temporal engineering, such as the arrival of a flying saucer. As reverse temporal engineering is not evidently being exercised at this point in the narrative, coincidence is their best bet.
"Talk about a coincidence. Me picking you up again. And your girlfriend, of course."
"In the rain, of course."
"Well, we know that that's not a coincidence, don't we?"
"Didn't think you'd still be driving a lorry, Rob. Doesn't being rain god come with a car?"
"Stuff the rain god. One paragraph in the Sun and I'm hijacked by a bunch of scientists. An example of a spontaneous paracausal meteorological phenomenon."
"A what?"
"That's what I said. See, if they find something they can't understand, they like to call it something normal people can't understand or pronounce. If everybody just went around calling me a rain god, that'd suggest everybody knows something the scientists don't. Well, they couldn't have that, so they call it something which says it's theirs and not everybody else's. Then they set about finding some way of proving it's not what everybody else says it is, but something they say it is."
"Are we there yet?"
"And if it turns out that everybody else is right, everybody else will still be wrong because the scientists will simply call me, super normal. Not paranormal or supernatural, because everybody else thinks they know what these mean now. No, a supernormal incremental precipitation inducer. That's it. Oh, and by the way, they probably want to shove a quasi in there somewhere to protect themselves. But rain god or not, they said that either way you wouldn't catch them going on holiday with me. So I told them to stuff it, and I came back to work."
"Do you mind if we listen to the radio?"
"Help yourself."
"Thanks."
"David discovers evidence of reverse temporal engineering in Brian Aldridge's past. And just before news of the continuing situation in London...
Continuing situation?
Yeah, haven't you heard the news?
We've been in California.
Tricia McMillan.
Step me. Tricia McMillan.
Wow. There's a photo of her in today's Sun coming out of some club in New York.
Good grief. Trillium. But blonde.
Yeah, she could try on my galoshes any time.
Wasn't Trillium the name of the girl you met up there?
Yes. But this one's American.
Yeah, oh, she's English by birth. Yeah, still lives here,
I think. BBC Radio 4, the news with Charlotte Green. There's been an emergency session of Parliament following the arrival of the huge flying saucer, which landed on Knightsbridge 3 days ago.
What?
Meanwhile, the pattern of pub riots across West London seems to have died down. Though reports are coming in of an isolated incident last night in the buffet car of a Great Western Express train.
Pub riots, buffet cars, it's a familiar pattern.
Pile of rubble
what?
Was Harrod...
We're here!
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. McKenna. Arthur! This is your cottage, is it?
What? Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just as I thought. The front door lock's been picked.
Everything all right?
Yes. Tell you what, can you pop to the shop and get some milk and bread? I'll, put the kettle on.
Sure.
After I found out how drunk our guest is.
Hello?
Of course.
Ford, wake up and get your shoes off the coffee table.
Huh? Huh? Oh, hello, Arthur. Ah, have you the faintest idea how hard it is to tap into the British phone system from the Pleiades? I can see that you haven't, so I'll tell you over the very large mug of black coffee that you were about to make me.
You better come into the kitchen, then.
I'm a little space-lagged.
You look as if you've been sleeping in a corridor for a month when it doesn't get vacuumed.
I have been. And before that, I was on a scout ship at the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation, from where I was trying to get a BT operator to help me. But they keep asking you where you're calling from, and you tell them Letchworth, and they say you couldn't be coming in on that circuit. What are you doing?
Making you black coffee.
Oh, what's this?
Cornflakes.
And this?
Paprika.
Well, the boxes don't stack up very well. What was I saying?
About not phoning from Letchworth.
Oh, yeah. You know how I hate those smug, serious cybernetics salesmen. Slick-suited creeps of the cosmos, flogging computer operating systems that crash more often than air cars built on the Friday shift. They have persuaded the universe that if it doesn't continually upgrade itself at enormous expense, it has no right to call itself fruity. This guy was on a 5-year mission to seek out and explore strange new worlds and tell them to share and enjoy his overhyped bloatware. Where's that coffee?
I'm waiting for the kettle to boil.
Use the hot tap. Ah, I have now remembered what I did next. I saved civilization as we know it. I knew it was something like that. So there I was. And what I did was this.
I can't hear what you're saying. Ford, what are you doing?
I've got your coffee. Oh, for goodness sake, that was a perfectly good chair.
Where have you been?
Making some coffee.
You missed the best bit. You missed the bit where I jumped the guy. Now I'll have to jump him all over again.
That also was a useful chair. Slightly worn, but perfectly serviceable.
First time was better.
I see. And, what are all the ice cubes for?
What? You missed the suspended animation facility? That's where I put the guy. Well, I had to, didn't I?
So it would seem. Oh, why is the phone...
Don't touch that!
But it's off the hook.
I know, but listen to it.
48 and 10.
It's the speaking clock.
Beep, beep, beep is exactly what is being heard all over that guy's ship while he sleeps in the ice, going slowly round a little-known moon of Sassafras Magna, the London speaking clock.
I see. Why?
Why? With a bit of luck, the phone bill will bankrupt the buggers.
I've really had enough of phones. Keep ringing and ringing, and just when I get to it, it stops.
Ah, sorry. That was me. Wanted to see if you'd found out. The Earth had suddenly reappeared. In the end, I assumed you had, because you didn't meet me in the bar in Handold City, which had the virtue of being a lot less boring than helping the people of the planet Cricket learn how to bowl a leg over, but was, in fact, a dump.
Leg spinner. And I'm not surprised.
Now, regret though I may the answer, how did you get here?
Where's the cassette player? Ah! Oh, here, I taped it for you.
It is estimated to be nearly a mile across, with a hatchway which crashed down through the Harrods food halls, demolishing Harvey Nichols. After some time, an immense silver robot, 100 feet tall, emerged.
Ugh, dramatic arrival, don't you think?
You stowed away aboard that robot's ship?
Yes.
I come in peace. Take me to your lizard.
Take me to your lizard?
It comes from a very ancient democracy, you see.
What? A world of lizards?
No, nothing anything like so straightforward. On its world, the people are people. The leaders are lizards. The people hate the lizards, and the lizards rule the people. They use brainwashing. Reality TV, lifestyle magazines, the usual stuff.
If it's a democracy, why don't the people get rid of the lizards?
It honestly doesn't occur to them. They've all got the vote, so they all pretty much assume that the government they voted in, more or less, approximates to the government they want. So they go back to watching TV.
You mean they actually vote for the lizards?
Oh, yes, of course.
But why?
Because if they didn't vote for a lizard, the wrong lizard might get in. Got any gin?
But that's terrible.
Listen, bud. If I had an altarian dollar for every time I heard one bit of the universe look at another bit of the universe and say, that's terrible, I wouldn't be sitting here like a lemon looking for a gin. But I haven't, and I am. Anyway, what have you gone all placid and moon-eyed for? Are you in love?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
With someone who knows where the gin bottle is. Do I get to meet her?
Arthur! Arthur! Hello.
Hi. Where's the gin? What happened to Trillian?
This is Fenchurch.
Like the station?
Not really.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Trillian, she went off to be a reporter. Got a kid now, I think.
Good grief. Where from?
Oh, Zaphod, probably. He's calmed down a lot since those high-altitude heroics over cricket. His psychiatrist says at least one of his heads is now saner than an emu on acid.
Perhaps the effect of all those pangalactic gargle blasters has finally worn off.
Doubt it. He's still obsessed. He was right about something very important, and somebody called Zani Whoop can prove it. He's gone to find him.
Arthur, who is this?
Oh, Ford Prefect. I may have mentioned him in passing.
Not passing anything memorable. Did you arrive on that spaceship?
Certainly did.
Can you get us on board?
Take me to your lizard.
The World at One. This is Nick Clark with 30 minutes of news and comment. Coming to you live from the BBC's commentary position in Knightsbridge, behind the crowd barriers and within sight of the immense silver saucer. The giant robot returned here last night from the beach at Bournemouth and now appears to be about to depart. With me is the astronomer Sir Patrick Moore. Patrick, what do you make of the scene before us?
Well, Nick, the immediate perimeter is fenced off and patrolled by tiny flying robots. Staked up around that is the army, who in turn are surrounded by a cordon of police. Though whether they're there to protect the public from the army, or the army from the public, or to guarantee the ship's diplomatic immunity and stop it getting parking tickets, we just don't know.
Well, the story so far is strange enough. The robot stood here for 3 days and nights after its arrival, we think now waiting for a deputation of lizards. Several politicians thought to have lizard-like characteristics were sent to parley with the robot, but were fried by the flying arc welding kits which defend the area. And that resulted in the almost complete annihilation of the cabinet and many opposition MPs. A turning point did seem to come when a crack team of flying wire strippers discovered the zoo in Regent's Park, and most particularly the reptile house.
Yes, Nick, some of the larger iguanas were brought to the giant silver robot, who tried to conduct high-level talks to them, but to no avail.
And immediately afterwards, the flying tools constructed an immense gantry which bore the robot south to the seafront at Bournemouth, where it announced it had been led to expect one of the most exciting places on any world in the known galaxy, and was very disappointed.
Have you got a pencil?
I did have. Trouble is, I packed so many towels in here.
You really shouldn't listen to Ford.
Ballpoint. How reliable is he?
How reliable is Ford Prefect? Huh. How shallow is the ocean? How cold is the sun? Still, there's always a first time. Now, what was it?
What was what?
Yes. Quenchulous Quasgar Mountains. Sevorby Upstri. A planet of Preliumtarn. Sun's Arse. Galactic Sector QQ7 Active J Gamma.
And you're saying God's final message to his creation is there?
Fenchurch, you are sure you want to do this?
It's the only clue we've got. If it's the same message I had in that cafe in Rickmansworth, I want to know what it was.
This is as close as I can get, Gov. It's a chocker.
Then we'll get out here, thanks.
You know, I had that Neil Armstrong in the back of my cab once.
Looks like the army and police have moved back. But how are we going to get through this crowd to that ship?
We're too late! The ramp's going up!
Typical Ford.
All right, you people! Hold it!
Everything at the last minute.
There has been a major scientific break-in. Through! Breakthrough! Stand back, everybody!
What's that thing he's got with lights on it? A gun?
An electronic thumb.
What?
Half the electronic engineers in the galaxy are constantly trying to find fresh ways of jamming hitchhiker thumbs, while the other half are constantly trying to find fresh ways of jamming the jamming signals.
It worked! The ramp's coming back down!
Not for long enough.
Quick! Arthur! Venture!
We'll never get to the ramp! Too many people in the way!
Yes, you will!
Carman Gunner!
What's in his shopping trolley?
Off-world duty-free mobile phones! Latest Sirius cybernetics models, all with novelty ringtones! Share and enjoy!
I take it all back. I take back everything I ever said to deny you are a thieving, amoral scoundrel.
I didn't know you bothered.
I don't.
Grab something. We're moving. Oh.
Actually, Patrick, that phone's my lucky colour. Want to swap for this one?
Not unless it's got this way cool ringtone.
Oh. Can't I get a moment's peace? Fenchurch?
It's all right for some.
What the? A screwdriver? Mind where you're flying. Shoo! Shoo! Off. Manual door override. Yes. Ford, would you turn your video down?
Shh, we're just getting to the good bit.
Please, Fenchurch may be able to sleep through this, but I can't.
I finally got it all sorted out. Voltage levels, line conversion, region free, the lot. And this is the good bit. Belgium. No, I didn't even get to the big one, the one I came back for. Look, Casablanca, a two-disc set, still shrink-wrapped. Do you realise I never saw this movie all the way through? Always I missed the end. I saw half of it again the night before the Vogons came. When they blew the Earth up, I thought I'd never get to see it. Now I get one with special features and everything and the ruddy crystals zapped out. Typical.
I can tell you the ending if you like. Rick and Ilsa meet...
No, don't tell me the ending. Want a beer? There's a six-pack behind you.
Thanks.
So
what?
How in Zarquan's holy name did Earth get to suddenly exist again? I saw it blown up.
So did I. Listen, Ford. I'm certain it's not the Earth we remember.
You interest me strangely, Mr. Dent.
Remember Trillian's white mice, Frankie and Benji? What they were doing?
The mice more or less ran the Earth for 10 million years. It was a huge organic computer matrix they hoped would find the ultimate question to fit the ultimate answer, which is 42.
Yes, and they were pretty teed off that the Vogons demolished the Earth before they'd arrived at a conclusion.
Look, I'm all for reminiscences, but can't we talk about girls' chests or something?
No, listen. Benji said... It's easy to suspect that if there's any real truth, it's that the entire multidimensional infinity of the universe is almost certainly being run by a bunch of maniacs.
Are you sure he said that? I don't recall that at all. But then I don't recall much of anything.
No, but I do. And that's what I'm talking about. Multidimensional infinity. Doesn't that suggest that somehow more than one Earth could exist? More than one of me? Or of you?
Are you about to tie me to the maniac bit?
I'm sure you're a one-off, Ford. Well, let's hope so. And I may be the only Arthur Dent, but there's definitely another Trillian. A reporter.
Trillian's a reporter for the Sidereal Daily Mentioner, yes.
No, there's another one. On that new Earth.
also a reporter. She looks identical to our Trillian, but she's got an American accent. She's blonde, and she goes by Trillian's real name, Tricia McMillan.
So twins separated at birth, a dropped test tube, happenstance.
Or a side effect of two Earths existing in the same space, but in different dimensions, until one of them was destroyed.
Pass me another beer. I think I can turn this headache into a full-blown migraine.
I think Fenchurch saw the truth for that split second between Earths, which should be revealed when we find God's last message to his creation.
Well, count me out.
Why?
You know, gods, they come and they go. Can we talk about girls' chess now?
Sure. What do you want to know?
According to its most recent update, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy explains that beyond what used to be known as the limitless light fields of Flanux, until the grey-binding fiefdoms of Saxoquine were discovered lying behind them, lie the grey-binding fiefdoms of Saxoquine. Within the grey-binding fiefdoms of Saxoquine lies the star named Zas, around which orbits the planet Preliumtarn, on which is the land of Severby Upstri. And in the land of Severby Upstri is the great red plain of Rars, bounded on the south side by the Quentilus Quasgar Mountains, on the further side of which, according to the dying words of Prak the Truthful, travellers will find, in 30-foot-high letters of fire, God's final message to his creation. According to Prak, the place is guarded by the majestic Vantrashel of Lob, and so it is. He is a little man in a strange hat, and he sells pilgrims a ticket.
How many?
Two for the message, please.
Thank you.
Well, keep to the left, please. Keep to the left, and mind my scooter.
Pilgrims to the great red plain of Ra soon realize they're not the first to pass that way, for the path that leads around the left of the great plain is well-worn and dotted with sales booths, one of which sells fudge, baked in an oven in a cave in the mountain, heated by the fire of the letters that form God's final message to his creation. Another sells postcards of the message, with the letters blurred by an airbrush, the reason being, as the wizened little old lady selling them says,
so it's not to spoil the big surprise.
We'll pass on the postcard, thanks.
Do you know what the message is?
Oh, yes. Keep going.
Every 20 miles or so, there is a little stone hut with showers and sanitary facilities. For the going is tough, and the high sun bakes down on the great red plain, which ripples in the heat.
Excuse me, where can we rent one of those little scooters, like the one Logistic Ventra Watson's got?
Oh, the scooters are not for the devout.
Oh, we're not particularly devout, just interested.
Well, then you must turn back now. This is the great red plain of Rars, a sacred, holy place, not one to be sullied by the unbeliever.
We've come so far.
Oh, well, in that case, I've got a special offer on final message sun hats. Yeah, buy one, get one free. Yeah, I'll do a nice line in lighters as well, in the shape of the Quentilus Quasgar Mountains. That's right, just push the peak and the north face develops a flame. Not certified for health and safety, though, of course.
Arthur, we're not the first to make this journey.
Well, of course not. Look at all the souvenir stalls.
No! I mean, we're not the only ones making it now. Look ahead. In the distance.
Good Lord. What is it?
It's half limping, half crawling. Is it made of metal?
Surely not.
Surely not metal?
Come on, Fenchurch.
So much time, oh, so much time, and pain as well, so much of that, and so much time to suffer it in too. One or the other on its own I could probably manage. It's the two together that really get me down.
Marvin?
Oh, hello, you again.
Is that you?
You were always one for the super intelligent question, weren't you?
What is it? A robot?
Some call him a robot. Most call him an electronic sulking machine.
You know him?
He's sort of an old friend.
Friend? You'll have to excuse me while I try and remember what the word means. My memory banks are not what they were, you know, and any word which falls into disuse for a few quillion years has to get shifted down into auxiliary memory backup. Ah, Here it comes. What a curious concept. Was I amongst friends when the Hagunenon Admiral evolved into a life pod and everybody aboard his flagship escaped, leaving me aboard as it steered itself into the nearest star?
I was meaning to ask.
Was I amongst friends when I was left to walk in circles on a swamp planet? Left to park cars outside a restaurant for millennia? Left for the cricket robots to use for batting practice? Friend, no, I don't think I ever came across one of those. Sorry, can't help you there.
Poor thing.
Is there a last, insultingly trivial service you would like me to perform for you, perhaps? A piece of paper, possibly, that you'd like me to pick up for you? A light switched off? Or maybe you would like me to open a door? Not that there are any doors in the miles of desolate waste that surround us, but I'm sure that if we waited long enough, someone would build one, and then I could open it for you. I'm quite used to waiting, you know.
Arthur, what have you done to this poor creature?
Nothing. He's always like this.
What do you know of always? You say always to me, who, thanks to the silly little errands your organic life forms keep sending me through time on, is now 37 times older than the universe itself. Pick your words with a little more care and tact. Leave me. Go on ahead. Leave me to struggle painfully on my way. My time at last has nearly come. My race is nearly run. I fully expect to finish last. It would be fitting. Here I am, brain the size of a planet.
That does it. Help me, Fenchurch.
No.
He weighs hardly anything.
Put me down. You don't know where I've been.
I think he's mostly rust.
Come on, best foot forward. Okay, other foot forward.
Careful you don't get blisters, his body's hot.
Look! Those must be the mountains of Quentilus Quasgar.
Ooh. This must be metal fatigue.
My arms are getting tired. If we could get him walking again, it'd help.
Marvin, why don't we see if we can get you some spare parts at one of the booths?
I'm all spare parts. Let me be. Every part of me has been replaced at least 50 times. Except...
Except what? Wow.
What is it?
I think he's laughing.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, how droll. Do you remember the first time you ever met me?
Of course.
I've been given the intellect-stretching task of taking you up to the bridge of the Heart of Gold. I mentioned to you that I had this terrible pain in all the diodes down my left side. That I'd ask for them to be replaced, but they never were.
Yes?
See if you can guess which parts of me were never replaced. Go on. See if you can guess. Ouch. 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 Ouch.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy explains that only at the foot of the Quentilus Quasgar Mountains is God's last message to his creation clearly visible, written in blazing letters along their barren ridge. There's a little observation point with a rail built along the top of a large rock facing it, from where you can get a good view. It has a little pay telescope for looking at the letters in detail, but it's never needed as the letters burn with the divine brilliance of the heavens and would, if seen through a telescope, severely damage the retina. Those who gaze upon God's final message gaze in wonderment and are slowly and ineffably filled with an overwhelming sense of peace and of final and complete understanding.
Yes. That was it.
Well,
Typical. Everyone can read it but me.
Oh, Marvin, help lift his head. He can't read the message.
Come on, old chap.
There's no point. My focusing circuits are almost burnt out.
The telescope. Who's got a coin?
Oh, I spent my last cash on the sun hats.
Here, use the washer holding my left arm on. I won't need it anymore.
All right. Put the eyepiece up close. Can you see the message?
I can. One letter at a time. WEAPOLOGISE. The next two words are for and the. Then it's a long one. INCON. Oh.
Other arm?
Is the last word incontinence?
We apologize for the incontinence.
Other arm, then. We apologize for the INCO.
We apologize for the inconvenience.
I think I feel good about that.
Let's not go that far.
Goodbye, Arthur.
Miserable git. I'll miss him.
Come on, Arthur. Show me the galaxy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Slump Jet is counting down to our first warp transition. Please fasten your acceleration straps, switch off your cell phones, and arrange your antennae, tentacles, or pseudopodia in the upright position.
Can you believe there was a stall where guys with green wings and orthopedic shoes were renting scooters?
Wonka was saner than we thought.
If you look out of your viewports, you'll be able to see one set of stars wink out and another wink in as we cross the warp boundary, which will be in 10, 9, 8...
How long till we reach Elosimana Sinica?
About 3 hours after this transition.
And we just cross from one bit of space to another, without...
And we're through!
Without what? Fenchurch!
Is everything all right, sir?
The young lady next to me, she's gone. Disappeared. Just as we made the hyperspace jump.
What young lady?
The young lady you just served a drink to.
Sir, you must be mistaken. You boarded on your own. That seat's been unoccupied since Prelium Tarn. You put your towel on it when you sat down and it's still there. With your feet on it.
Fenchurch.
Can a galaxy with 1+ trillions but 0 Fenchurches hold any comfort for Arthur Dent? Will he ever find the ultimate question to the ultimate answer? Or will he arrive at his final destination of Stavromula Beta first? What, besides resolutions of the interrogative, are the answers? Find out in the quintessential phase of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, William Franklin was the book. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent, Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect, Bill Patterson, Rob McKenna, Jane Horrocks, Fenchurch, Sandra Dickinson, Tricia McMillan, and Stephen Moore was Marvin. Bob Golding played the logistic Vantrachel, Alison Pettit, the stewardess, and Brian Cobby was the speaking clock. Nick Clark, Charlotte Green, Peter Donaldson, and Sir Patrick Moore were themselves. The announcer was John Marsh. The surround mix was by Paul Dealey, and additional effects by Ken Humphrey and Paul Weir. The script editor was John Langdon, and the music was by Paul Wicks-Wickins. The production manager was Joe Wheeler, and the production assistant was Susie Matthews. The programme was adapted, directed, and co-produced by Dirk Maggs. The producers were Helen Chatwell and Bruce Hyman, and it was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4. For listeners on planet Earth, up-to-date weather information is available on your Meteorological Office website. Or if it's raining, check for passing showers on www.mckennasallweatherhaulage.com.